and thank you for downloading our podcast. And the name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach, using biblical principles, the best ways to handle money. And the end result will be you eliminate your debt, no matter how small or large the debt may be. The name of the class is Faith and Money Matters, and you can learn more simply by going to CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. In today's program, we're going to attempt to answer the leading question that we hear throughout the course of the year as we work with individuals and couples on their budget. And that question, John, is, should I invest or pay off the debt?
Steve, that's a great question. And the answer is a resounding maybe. Everybody has an opinion on this issue of paying off debt or investing and when and where and all that kind of stuff. Anybody can give you an opinion, but they really need to understand what your specific situation is. You know, maybe you've got credit card debt or student loan debt, auto loans, home loans, maybe a mortgage. You know, if you've been trying to find out answers to your questions, you've found all kinds of discussion about, well, if the interest rate is this on your investment and the interest rate is this on your debt and, you know, what's the delta there? And, you know, it's really confusing.
Well, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one, right?
Exactly.
And some of them are good and some of them are innies and some of them are outies.
You know, even a comparative analysis between your debt interest rates and your savings rates and, you know, how are you ever going to be able to pay off all your debt before you begin investing? Or, you know, the more research you do, the more complicated the answers are. And it becomes so confusing that, you know, it's really difficult to determine what your correct path should be.
Well, and people do have a tendency to get bogged down in looking for a correct path, and there is none. I mean, there's a correct path for you, which may or may not be right for me or for the person next to you. So it's also personal based on all of your financial things that you were talking about. It's not a one size fits all black and white answer for everybody.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, you can get so confused that you just kind of give up. Why do I even care? Why don't I just plod along here in debt up to my eyeballs forever? At least I know where I am and what's going on.
Does it depend on the age of the individual or the couple about paying off the debt versus investing?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. We're going to go through several steps as we go through today. You know, that might have a bearing on how fast you want to move, but or how focused you become. But I really don't think that is an issue. Older people probably or maybe don't have student loans. I know that's not true for everybody, but so, you know, that's something they don't have to consider. But there's other types of debt that...
Well, I'll save my questions until later.
Until you don't answer them, and then I'll ask them again, right?
Yes, and then I'll pounce on you.
You know, the problem is that do you really believe God put you on this earth to be in debt up to your eyeballs and just plodding along? And, you know, if you think about that, are you really in a position to fulfill God's plan for your life by getting further and further in debt?
And that doesn't sound like a plan God would give you, does it?
No, we think the answer to all those questions is no. You know, we believe that everybody wants to achieve some type of financial independence that'll allow them to do some fun things in their lives and accomplish some personal goals and all that kind of stuff. And you know, that varies with each individual, just as you said, Evelyn. And it probably doesn't include all that debt that you are carrying right now. But, you know, before we get too deep into the weeds, I think it's, you know, it's prudent to just review some good compass facts that should be driving the way you're thinking. The first one is that God owns everything. He owns everything that you have, whether it's a lot or not a lot. Everything that you've got is a blessing that God has granted you. And we can go to a scripture, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it holds, the world and those who dwell in it.
So if God owns everything, then our job is to be a good steward of all that we have, which is a blessing from him, right?
Absolutely.
So the role of a steward is to manage somebody else's property. I guess the question for the listeners is, how are you managing God's property? Are you doing a good job of being a manager and a steward, or are you needing to make some improvements?
And this is a really, really important question. It's an important answer for quite a few people. I think back to me, it requires a total mental adjustment. And that's not always the easiest thing to accomplish. So while you're working on your mental adjustment, here's some other things that maybe will help you to achieve financial independence. And so let's take a look at some tangible steps that will make it easier to eliminate your debt and begin to save. Step one, Evelyn, track your spending.
And we're doing that.
Yes, we are.
We have been doing that for a long time. I know you do it too, Steve, don't you?
Yes, we do, Evelyn. We started when we first got married. In fact, we still do that today.
It amazes me that people can get through life financially without tracking what they spend, because it's always interesting to me how they manage where the money's going. Because if they're not tracking where they're spending their money, how are they going to determine if they're spending on things that are important to them, that are going to help them get out of debt and help them save for the future?
You know, it's the individuals that we work with that are in that retirement zone. I would say in their early 40s, and they're now starting to think about retirement, and they're the ones who have no idea how much they're actually spending. So, the first question we ask when they say we're going to retire, how much money will we need? First question we say is, how much do you need over the course of a year?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, they pause after well, so you got them.
You know the I don't know is coming, right?
No, but track your spending is like basic step one.
Yeah, finance is 101.
Yeah.
First step to do anything else, because that lets you make decisions. And
if you don't have
those facts and figures, you really can't make a decision.
Especially, can I afford to retire when I want to retire?
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
So we are convinced that you will definitely be surprised at what you're going to find when you start tracking your spending. And we know that because we've seen so many people be surprised at how much money they're spending.
On certain things. They don't realize where the money's going.
Exactly.
So what's step two?
Step two is to create an emergency fund. You know, if you don't have an emergency fund, you're going to just create more debt, because that's what happens with emergencies and crises. You don't have the cash, so the only way to get through that process is to put it on a credit card. You know, you're just adding up more and more debt when you're doing that. So emergency fund. Start with the idea that you're going to have a minimum of $1,000 in a liquid account, like a savings account, something where you can get to the money, but don't put it in your normal checking account or in your normal savings account. It's too easy to just go into that when you think you need something, but it's not an emergency, and take that $1,000. So put it aside. And then once you have that $1,000, you need to reset your goal on your emergency fund for 1 month's income. And then once you achieve that, you work to 3 months' income, and then eventually to 6 months' income. Now, I know that's not going to happen tomorrow or next week. That's the process, and you lay it out so you know where you're headed.
And if you're thinking that you can never get 6 months' income, maybe you can't get there real soon. But if you at least have that $1,000 to start with, if you have an emergency, you're going to be much better off than if you didn't even have the $1,000 to begin with. So don't let the 1 month, 3 month, 6 month thing scare you off. Start where you are and build it.
And, you know, for most emergencies, for, you know, basic emergencies, the refrigerator breaks or the dishwasher goes kaput, or, you know, Johnny breaks his arm or whatnot, $1,000 is going to cover
a lot of it.
Most of it, yeah. And then the bigger ones, the 30 days and 3 months, and so that's for when things get really dicey. You know, maybe there's a job loss or something like that. That just helps you work through those kinds of things.
And a vacation is not an emergency.
Amen, brother.
It's not even a need in most cases.
It's amazing how many people can rationale that. It's sitting there. It needs to be put to good use.
Yep. No, that money needs to stay in exactly. this little box marked emergencies.
Yeah. So step number three is to create a spending plan. Now, you notice I didn't call it a budget because that scares too many people. But a spending plan is pretty much the same thing. And, once you've tracked your spending for 30 to 60 days, it's tracking every single penny and researching through all your spending over the last 12 months for those quarterly and semi-annual and annual payments that you don't think about because they only happen once or twice or four times a year, then you have the information to create your spending plan. And this is really where you're able to determine what your financial success is going to look like. You categorize all your spending into categories, and you add up all of these categories and subtract it from your income that you bring home each month. And now that's the bring home income. That's not the gross income. And that's a key thing because some people will use that gross income and there's money there that isn't coming home.
And it's not going to add up.
No,
nope, that.
That's right. And so when you subtract, hopefully you're going to have a little bit of money left over. If not, it's time to review each of your categories and eliminate things that are not absolute needs. And if they're not needs, then they're wants. And you want to eliminate all the wants until your spending is less than your net spendable income. That bring home money each month. That's really the key thing. Make sure that each one of your categories is focused, and make sure you have one category that's focused on paying off your credit card debt.
And it's getting down to that level of detail that really helps you achieve your goals.
Oh, you have to do that. Absolutely. And you can't skip having a category for paying off your credit cards, because where's that money going to come from?
As John and Evelyn were just discussing about the spending plan, when you're laying out your expenses, make sure you put them into categories. That way you get to see exactly where your money is going. And on our website, compasscatholic.org, we have a spreadsheet that you can download and use it absolutely free that has all the categories that we can think of already spelled out. All you have to do is just fill in the blanks. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministries. Today, John and Evelyn are answering a question that we are asked so often throughout the course of the year. Do I invest or pay off the debt? And we took you through three reasons why paying off your debt makes more sense. John, let's continue. Give me a fourth reason.
Create a debt snowball to pay off all of your credit card debt. When we're thinking about this, here's another verse that you should probably meditate and memorize and just, keep it in your mind always. And it's from Proverbs 22:7. It reads, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." If you don't believe this verse is so true, even today, stop paying your credit card bills for 2 or 3 months and see what happens.
Oh, I'm sure nobody would notice, right?
Yeah, those lenders, the credit card companies, will definitely begin to rule over your life. To create your snowball, what you have to do is make a list of all your cards along with the pertinent information. Who the card is with, what the interest rate is, what the balance is, all
minimum
those,
payment, yeah, due date.
All that kind of stuff. And then you want to prioritize your list from the smallest balance to the largest balance. You want to do everything possible to pay off the smallest balance as soon as possible. Once the first card is paid off, then apply what you were paying on that first card along with the minimum payment that you were making on the second smallest card, and add that all together and get that second card paid off. And then you just keep doing that, going to the next smallest balance.
A lot of people have different ideas about how to pay off credit cards. There's the snowball, which is what we were talking about, starting with the smallest. There's the avalanche, which is starting with the highest interest rate. And then there's, I don't remember what the third thing they call it, but it's also starting with the highest balance. Mm-hmm. And we were reading something from Harvard Business Review that said people are motivated by paying off a debt completely more than they're motivated by the amount of money they paid off. So getting rid of a $500 debt is more motivating than paying $1,000 on a larger debt because you've gotten rid of a debt. So the reason we recommend the snowball is because that'll keep you motivated for a longer period of time.
Now, with the people that you've worked with over the years, do you find that to be true, that the ones who pay off the smallest debt first feel it's a moral victory?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they move
it's
on?
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's I can imagine.
Yeah, I achieved something. If you're trying to pay off the, let's say, the car first. Well, usually the car is one of the bigger debts you have as mm-hmm. compared to some of the credit cards. And that just seems like it takes forever and you're just slogging along. So that's why we highly recommend tackling that first smallest one.
So get focused, pay off the cards using all efforts available to you. Step number five, begin to think about investing and saving. Now, this is after you've paid off all the credit cards. Okay. And secondly, it's not an all-out attack on investing. This is a time to maximize your investing opportunities for the least amount of cost. And you're thinking, well, how do I do that? I mean, you got to invest. You know, how do you do that? Well, here's the thing. Take a look at the qualified plan that your employer has. Many, many of them will match your investment amount up to a certain point. Like maybe they'll match 50 cents of every dollar up to 6%. Okay? So that's a way that you're investing a minimum amount of money and the company is then adding 50 cents for every dollar that you're investing. It's like free money. And that's a way to invest with the least cost possible.
So, John, you don't think that they should start doing the company match before they get all their credit cards paid off?
You know, Evelyn, that's a great question. And I think that that might be one caveat that is an acceptable investment, even if you have credit card debt. It depends on how much credit card debt you've got. And if you've got gobs and gobs of credit card debt, I would say no. You want to get that debt paid off because the interest is killing you.
Yeah, because you're not going to, even if you're with your employer match, you're not, depending on how much your credit card debt is, you're not going to make enough on that investment plus the employer match to offset all of the interest you're paying on that high credit card bill.
Right, right. Now, you notice that when I started this section five, step five, I said this is not an all-out attack on investing. And that's because you still have debt that you must continue to work on to get paid off.
Because by now you've just eliminated the credit card debt.
You've eliminated credit card debt, but there's still consumer debt. There's car loans, furniture loans, appliance loans, personal loans that you took out.
Student loans.
And you still need to work on increasing your emergency fund from wherever you are to the next level, whether you're at 1,000 or 1 month's income or 3 months' income. There's always another level to work towards. So it's not an all-out attack on investing. Step number six, now it's time to really focus on investing. Why? Well, you've started that little bit of investing, but you've got all of those consumer loans paid off too. You might still have a mortgage. You might still have a student loan. But that's okay because the interest rates on those are pretty low and, you know, they can be extended or they are extended out over multiple years. Since you've paid off your credit cards, your auto loans, your consumer loans, your personal loans, your furniture loans, your appliance loans, and you have 1 to 3 months in emergency funds saved up, now you can really begin to invest. The thing that's going to happen is going to make your life much less stressful.
You know, what we found when we were going through this is that living within your means is so much less stressful than just hoping you're going to have enough money to pay the bills when they come in. And it does take a certain amount of discipline, and it does take a certain amount of record keeping, and it does take a certain amount of focus, but it's well worth the effort to get those bills paid off and to basically be able to live debt free except for the mortgage and those student loans.
Yeah, you're paying your credit card bill in total every single month. That's such a key thing. Even if that's the only thing you use to spend, you know, you got to pay it off every 30 days. And if you can't do it, it's time to cut it up.
Or freeze it.
If you've got everything paid off and then you slide backwards, then maybe you need to take some more drastic steps. You know, that plastic surgery.
With the scissors?
Doesn't cost you a lot. Yeah, it's not like going to the doctor. Scissors Hand Luke. Is that what it's called? Scissors Hand Luke.
Edward Scissors Hand.
Okay.
Scissors Hand Luke. Where did that come from?
Related to Luke. Fifth cousin removed.
We'll have to see if we can find that movie on YouTube, Steve.
So now is the time to build up your savings and investments. And so you want to determine what your goals are. You know, make a list on a piece of paper. I want to retire at age X. What is that date? You know, how old are you going to be? And I also want to have X number of dollars available to me each month to live on.
And those two are important to do together, because you might want to retire when you're 30 years old, but if you don't have enough money to pay your living expenses at that point in time,
for the next 70 years,
you need to keep working, you know? So those two, the retired age and how much money you have to live on, are two related items.
But at this point in your life, should you be working with a financial advisor that's going to help you guide you the rest of the way?
You know, that's a good question, Steve. And there's a lot of people out there who think they can do it on their own and they're going to stick to mutual funds and stuff like that. And I think that you can do that to a certain extent. But at some point in time, it's good to have an outside, non-emotional kind of person involved in helping you make those decisions. We did it on our own for a long time, but as we got closer and closer to that time when we thought we were going to retire, and when we did retire, we went to the route of having a financial planner, and it has paid dividends in big ways. The other thing you want to write down is, I want to be able to accomplish these special things, the goals. Maybe it's travel. Maybe it's remodel the house. Maybe it's start a new business or a hobby. I want to learn how to play the guitar, you know, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And then you've got to determine how much you need to invest to meet those goals by the age that you want to retire by. You know, if you've tracked your spending, you know how much it takes you to live. And just figure that that's what it's going to cost you, whether you're earning a living or you're retired. Same thing. Step number 7, why am I doing all this? You know, at some point in your journey of paying off debt and saving for the future, you're going to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Go back to the very beginning and think about the goals that you want to accomplish in your life. This is a reason for all the hard work and discipline. And if you can do everything that we've outlined here, then someday in the future, you might hear these great words from Matthew 25:21. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share in your master's joy.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. A lot of excellent information they just went through. Now, if you missed any of these steps, they are available in our podcast summary, and you can find that on the homepage of compasscatholic.org. Or if you'd like to listen to this show again, maybe share it with a family member or friend, also available on demand at compasscatholic.org. And before we leave you today, let's answer a couple of emails that we received this week. All right, John and Evelyn, here we go. I just graduated from college. Congratulations. And will be starting my first job. The question I have is, how do I establish credit?
You know, I applaud you for looking at your financial future and trying to establish credit now. And as a starting point, just to be sure there's no identity theft, I would start by reviewing both your credit score and your credit report. So go to freecreditreport.com for your report, and you may have to pay for the score if your bank doesn't offer it for free. And then what would you do after they check their credit score and credit report, John?
Well, I think one of the things that they could do is get a secured credit card to help build up their credit score. Now, what is a secured credit card? It's one like you go in and pay $500 to the credit card company. You put that money in advance, and then you have $500 that you can charge. As soon as that $500 is depleted, then your charge card won't be any good unless you put more money back into the account.
In effect, paying off what you just charged.
Exactly, exactly.
So you're staying on top of it and building credit score.
Basically, you're using cash, but you're creating a credit record. Yes.
Good idea.
All right, John and Evelyn, this one has to do with tithing. I've been tithing, but I don't have enough money to pay my basic needs. So now I'm wrestling with whether I should keep tithing or pay my rent. How do you switch from the world's way of handling money to God's way when you have worldly obligations and commitments? Excellent question.
You know, we get that question a lot. How much do I have to give? And the U.S. bishops wrote a pastoral letter on stewardship that's called Stewardship, a Disciple's Response. And that letter answers the questions. And they basically say, you don't have to give anything. That giving is a response from your heart based on prayer and actively seeking God's will. So if you're struggling with that question, you need to pray about it and seek God's will for what you should do as far as giving goes. But I want to encourage you to at least give something.
John and Evelyn, thank you as always. Now, if you have a financial challenge and you'd like John and Evelyn's thoughts, maybe some help, simply email your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. Also, if you have any comments or feedback on today's show, or maybe you have a topic that you would love to hear us discuss, that email address is info@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, thank you so much for taking the time to download our podcast. And remember, we have a brand new one for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Scroll down on the homepage. Not only will you find the most current one, but also an archive library of all the podcasts that we've done. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.